Hello, David Barrett of Trophy Buck Secrets here to thank you for joining us for our final installment in the Food Plot Success Summit teleseminar series. We've got a great guest on the line for you tonight. Now, here's your host, Ralph Schroeder, to get things started.
Thanks, Dave. Today at TrophyBuckSecrets.com, we're continuing our teleseminar series about food plots, but we're adding a little bit of a twist. Our special guest today is Dave Fuhr of Hunter Specialties. Mr. Fuhr is the wildlife research chemist for Hunter Specialties and the developer of VitaRack 26. Dave will be sharing his insights into the use of minerals for growing big bucks. Thanks for joining us today, Dave.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
And Dave, can you please tell our listeners at TrophyBuckSecrets.com a little bit about yourself?
Sure, be happy to. I've been a research chemist since the early 70s, and so over a few period of years, I grew up in northern Minnesota, obviously. My wife and I have a fascination for whitetail hunting, and so I've utilized some of the chemistry that I've known, and we actually started on our own farm that's now in northern Missouri, and we were trying to figure out how to take a relatively non-attractive buck, shall we say, and grow it into a trophy. And that's when the research started years and years ago, and it's gone a long way since then.
Yeah, and how old were you when you decided, you know, that the chemist in you would also work in this outdoor industry? When did you decide to blend the two?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, what's interesting about it is that I've always had a fascination for this. My wife and I spent some time when we were in Texas, and we had some whitetail leases and things like that. I actually got involved with a guy, and we developed some whitetail products nutritionally to feed them behind high fencing in particular. And so this has been going on now since the early 80s, so I guess it's been 20-plus years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, you know, every year it seems like there's an increased interest in deer management. You know, we want healthier deer herds, bigger bucks, especially bigger bucks. How important is the use of minerals in the overall deer management plan?
Well, I need to, if I may, let's go back a couple steps, and then I'll answer your question specifically.
Okay.
One of the first things that you mentioned was, of course, that it appears as though quality deer management has taken off, and there's a lot of people interested in the herd of their deer. Yeah, I think we owe a lot of that to the wildlife biologists that have been out there, specifically who studies, you know, wild animals and their habitats. And for me, I kind of looked at it and I thought, well, you know, a biologist may understand and know a lot about the physiology of that animal, but as far as the intake of what they're doing and how all that works, quite honestly, from the chemist in me, says, well, I don't know if they do or not. I mean, chemists use the knowledge that they get to learn what the composition, the properties of unfamiliar substances, and you know, the ability to reproduce and synthesize large quantities of a naturally occurring substance, for example, to create these new ones. That's kind of where VitaRack 26 came in. Because what we did basically is we did a blending of biology and chemistry to get the best, which equals, obviously, in my opinion, big deer. Now, if we talk specifically about VitaRack 26, let me explain what it is, first of all, and why we think it's important in the health of white-tailed deer, both does and bucks as well.
Okay.
The VitaRack 26, the name came around, it was kind of interesting because, and I guess a person has to understand, the initial development of this product had zero interest in our minds of going to the public market. We developed the product for our own farm, quite honestly. We wanted to grow big bucks on our own farm. It's not a high fence enclosure, and we wanted to do something different. And so VitaRack 26, where the name comes from, is that there's 26 ingredients. There's 14 different minerals and 12 different vitamins. And there's a very complex formulation that takes place within this product, and it creates something called a synergistic reaction. I'll explain more about that here as we go, because bottom line is, when you have these types of products that are there, the total nutritional value for your whitetail herd, you want to gain maximum benefit to that animal system, which obviously is not just enhanced weight gain, but bigger antlers, better overall health and immune system. And so that's kind of where Vitarac 26 is or came from today. And I think, you know, now let's answer your question very specifically, and that's that how do the minerals or do minerals make a difference in a white-tailed deer herd? My obvious answer is yes, but you got to remember something. If you're going to talk about quality deer management, part of it still comes down to several factors. One is you have to have water available. You have to have cover. You can't shoot the little ones, okay? And you got to manage your doe herd at the same time. That's all part of good, sound management. The things that we found, though, is that because of the agricultural processes that now take place across the country in the farm environment and so on with pesticides and herbicides and all sorts of things, there's many times that that deer's diet is affected. And it's affected negatively, not positively. And how that works basically is like this, is that, so let's say in a make-believe world all of a sudden, if we could have a super vitamin mineral blend that's like a daily tablet like us humans take for multi-health, boy, wouldn't that be grand. Give them the ideal stuff and say, just guess, if you took this, voila, it's like the health that us humans benefit. Yeah. That's what Vitarac 26 is.
Okay. I've read some really interesting stuff about Vitarac 26, but first of all, I'd like to just ask, basically, how is it different from the usual mineral blocks that hunters often use?
Good question. I appreciate you asking that because, you know, a lot that's out there, and it would have been easier for me, and I tried, quite honestly, everybody else's minerals, I won't name names, but why did I want to build something for myself? It's because when I did a deer physiology study, and I said, okay, what does a deer really need, and what can it get in the wild on its browsing and so on, or even food plots, what does it really need for maximum health? During this entire process, I visited with a gentleman named Valerius Geist. I don't know if you ever heard the name before. He's
no,
a gentleman out of Saskatchewan. He is probably the leading, in my opinion, he is the leading white-tailed deer biologist in the country, period, in the United States, in the world, whatever you want to call it, because he's obviously Canadian. And he and I had many, many long discussions specifically about genetics of white-tailed deer. So what you find is, and I'm not avoiding your question. I will answer your question, why is ours different than somebody else?
Right.
Well, I think what you have to find is that if you're going to take a lot of times I keep this as much layman terms as I possibly can so we don't get too sophisticated here, but part of it comes down to, and let's compare it to calcium. Let's compare it to calcium intake for women in particular. They take calcium because it helps their bones, okay? Well, here's what we've found, though, is that when you start talking minerals and vitamins specifically, there is a specific grade of products that needs to be used as well. And what we found was that, and the word would be metabolize, that how it goes through your system efficiently and effectively really is determined upon the grade of the raw materials. Let me give you an example. I found in other minerals that were out there today, they all basically had the same stuff. In fact, if you go to our Hunter Specialties website, I think we still have up there a comparison list of ingredients that some of the other folks have versus Vitarac 26. And here's what you're going to find is that on the mineral side, my opinion is they at least have the ingredients they need correct. I don't think they have it in the amounts they need correctly. Let me give you a very specific example. if you look at calcium and phosphorus in particular, those two levels are many times at 15 to 18 to 20% in typical deer mineral that's out there today. There's nothing wrong with that. However, here's what I have found. It's harder for them to digest that. And what happens is within that physiology that takes place now in this deer, our goal the whole time was frequency of visit to the site. And that's one of the reasons we don't typically use a block. We use loose mineral. And the reason is that way as a deer comes up to that site, it doesn't matter, obviously, the doe or buck, what you're going to have is that deer then can consume as much as it wants at any given time as opposed to being limited to how much it can lick off of a block. So there's a couple ways there. But then the other thing we found in most mineral mixtures that are on the market today, most of them had three typical vitamins that were in it, and they were vitamin A, D, and E. Vitamin A, D, and E are all what's called a fat-soluble vitamin. What that means is, though, is that it has to go into the intestinal tract to get then distributed to the body parts that it functions best. The thing we found was that, again, if you use animal-grade feed in particular, the deterioration of the effectiveness of those particular fat-soluble vitamins goes away very quickly, like 90 days, 60 days, depends on how much they put. So most manufacturers, what they really do, they put double the amount in, hoping it will last on the shelf until which point in time that product is sold and then used. One thing that Hunter Specialties made sure they did was one of the challenges I was presented with was if we were to take this product to market, we have to guarantee a minimum of 2 years shelf life on every ingredient. The only way to pull that off, quite honestly, was with food grade ingredients. So now let me answer your question specifically that you asked 5 minutes later. But the question was, why is ours different from somebody else's that's out there? It's probably three answers. The first answer is the grade of the ingredients far surpasses anyone that's out there. The second answer is that due to the specific blending of these ingredients, the deer return to the site every day, if not twice a day, which means you want frequency. It's like taking a one-a-day vitamin or one-a-day calcium tablet. You want to make sure they take it every day. How do you do that? You promote it in a mannerism that does that. The third biggest difference is that we also have 12 vitamins, not the typical three. I think the biggest difference that we found in going through the analyses of a deer, shall we say, what's best for a deer, is I figured out that B vitamins were very, very crucial to a deer's health. A C vitamin was very crucial to a deer's health. Most people did not use those in their ingredients, and they can't now because we patented the process, by the way. But tricky, right? So, so what we did was the B vitamins, and a lot of people, a lot of deer biologists will say, you don't need to do a B vitamin because they naturally build it and produce it within their gut bacteria system.
Okay.
Well, that's true and it's not true. The true part of that statement is that under the right set of environments with the proper feeding, a B5 vitamin can be developed by the deer. That's it. We have B1, B5, B6, B12. Then we have vitamin C in there, for an example, as well. So, and these are water-soluble vitamins, which may pique even more questions, but what that means is that the minute that this particular coated vitamin, so the water doesn't deteriorate it, hits the saliva in the mouth of the deer, It instantly gratifies and goes straight to the bloodstream, does not have to go through the intestinal tract.
Oh, okay. That's some pretty interesting stuff.
A mouthful, right?
It is. It's funny you'd mentioned about two ingredients in particular. Was it the calcium and the phosphorus?
Yes.
Correct? And then I guess it's just the human nature, whatever, to think that, you know, if a little bit is good, then a lot is even better.
Ralph, you're right on target. That's exactly true, and that's what a lot of people think. But more is not better in many cases. Let me explain why. If you'll go to our website, I'm sure that we have a chart on there, and we did it as a pie chart, and it's kind of interesting. I've already used the word once or twice, the word synergistic. Mm-hmm. And what that means is what a lot of people don't understand is that with the right ingredients, and we got a couple side benefits by doing this, by the way, but with the right ingredients, if you were to look on our website, you're going to see this pie chart, and it shows all 26 ingredients all the way around it. But all of a sudden, what you're also going to start seeing is lines. And what the lines do is they intersect with each other, and they form a particular circle that's kind of like it's a wild picture, quite honestly. But here's what it does. It takes, for an example, that most people have no idea that vitamin B12, which, by the way, is not available in the wild, and also is the number one vitamin used by a veterinarian guy that comes out and you have a sick deer, and let's say it's in a penned environment, first thing they'll do is give it a shot of B12. Why? Because it does a whole bunch of things. Most people don't understand. B12 has a direct impact on how the cobalt and zinc in particular is metabolized in that deer. So it helps. It's kind of like a booster. And a lot of people don't realize that calcium is directly affected, for an example, by iodine, by vitamin D, by vitamin C. And see, so all of a sudden there becomes a very complex systematic approach as far as how much can you put in there before you change the efficiency ratio.
Okay.
That's where the real science comes in.
I think I understand pretty well now.
This is such a heavy topic, Ralph. I'm sorry. I try and keep it as simple as possible, obviously. But folks need to understand it's a complex subject.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's funny you mentioned, you know, B12 boosting immune system, or right? Is that correct?
It's one of the ones that helps, yes.
Okay, so, you know, nowadays there's been a lot of debate over diseases such as like CWD, or chronic wasting disease.
Yep.
Can Vitarac actually help prevent those types of diseases from spreading through a deer herd?
In my opinion, the answer is yes. And let me explain how. Now, and I'm going to say this way. Unfortunately, I know a whole bunch about CWD. I started writing papers on CWD and elk back in the early 2000s. I think my first one was 2001, 2002. So, unfortunately, I'm very in tune with that disease and what it is. One of the biggest things that we were after, and quite honestly, in our part of the world, hemorrhagic disease is probably worse than anything, and it's sometimes called blue tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what it is, to answer your question specifically. The only way, and it's kind of like, you know, the last flu that went through, this H1N1 or whatever it was, and they said, hey, you got to get a shot so you don't get this stuff. Well, all the shot does is enhances your immune system. Vitarac 26 does that to the deer herd. It's not just a B12, though. There is here comes this word again, there's a synergistic reaction that takes place within this group of vitamin B products in particular. We kind of thought from day one when we were developing this, my wife and myself, we kind of thought the whole time that, you know what, if we do this a certain way, we may get some effects that are a benefit to just the overall health. I was asked by Hunter Specialties years ago to come up with a one or two word phrase that says, what does this stuff really do? And you know, that was a tough question because the real answer turned out it enhances the immune system and it unlocks genetic potential. And how that is done is that the basic DNA structure of a deer, whether it's there in Pennsylvania or here in Missouri or down in Texas, is basically the same. And if we can unlock that natural immune resistance that those animals have, they can ward off a lot of these things themselves. And CWD in particular, and hopefully it doesn't come to your area, I don't think it's in Pennsylvania yet, there was a single case that just showed up here in Missouri on February 25th of this year in a penned deer herd. But what we have found is typically this, is that with CWD in particular out west, when we were first studying all this stuff, it found that a CWD, it's actually created by something called a prion, and I won't get into that. But anyhow, what happens is it tended to go towards a deer's kidneys, and a deer would try and artificially, obviously, you know, pee it out of its system, for lack of any other word, okay?
Okay.
And what most people don't understand is that copper, a specific type of copper, within a mineral has a direct impact on the kidney system of a deer. So we went, when this first started coming out years ago, and they started really seeing, oh, no, CWD, this and that, one of the things we did is we increased the amount of copper that we had in there, but we had to do it through a specific method so it wouldn't affect the elk herd. So in doing all this, though, we gained some very interesting insight to deer physiology and their reaction and what happens when you enhance their immune system. And they become healthier. I mean, deer on our farm, for example, average 50 pounds bigger than anything in the area. Of course,
wow.
We've done this stuff many years, but
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's just all sorts of things. One of the latest things that we're finally able to talk about, for an example, is even the repellency of ticks.
Oh, really?
Deer ticks we have found. You know, you'll love this one if you haven't heard
of
it. Yeah. Deer ticks in particular. You ready?
Okay.
Deer ticks, that natural immune system we have found will not live on a white-tailed deer.
Mm-hmm.
We have studies across the country that, and we're now able, we just got permission to say this in January, just so you know, okay?
Okay.
We've been seeing this phenomena for about 5 years.
Okay.
And it actually helps to reduce or repel deer ticks off of deer. When we presented these facts last, I want to say October, November, or December, whenever it was, we were at the Quality Deer Management Association meeting in Louisville, Kentucky. We met with the head biologist for Quality Deer Management Organization. We showed them our facts, and one of the first comments was not that they didn't believe us, because we have it too well documented, was that, oh my goodness, this could affect the tick life cycle in specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have noticed even here and on a couple other farms in the area that the amount of ticks now finding on deer that are harvested and so on are almost zero.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that was actually written into our patent years ago.
Uh-huh.
Since then, we filed a couple more, but one thing about it was that there is a way. So let me answer your question again. We'll go round robin back to what you asked. Can a product like Bio-Rack 26 help keep diseases from becoming rampant in an area? My opinion, the answer is yes.
Okay, and really, I mean, it can even help improve the health of, you know, hunters that go into the woods, and there's, you know, around in Pennsylvania here, I mean, there are some areas of the state that are just infested with ticks.
Yep.
And I do, you know, help my dad in a taxidermy shop, and we see deer that are just covered with them.
Yep.
And just, it's mind-boggling that a product like this would, you know, actually reduce that. And
let me give you one example, okay? On the Hunter Specialties farm here in northern Missouri, they keep pretty diligent records of deer that they harvest every year. They typically harvest 50 to 80 deer a year off of this couple thousand acre or 3,000 acre place. And when they come in, though, they do things a little differently than you or I would do. They do not gut the deer in the field. And they bring it instantly to the house or to the farm. They weigh it, check the body weight, and then take a hair comb and literally comb through that entire deer and record numbers of ticks.
Wow.
There has been, on 50 deer that were harvested last year, 3 that had any ticks whatsoever, and one of them was pretty well covered.
Huh.
Out of 50 deer. Now, let's think about this. Now, you know, somebody may ask, well, then how come that one had so many on it? Well, what we figure is it was during rut, and he had traveled into an area where he's not been given this type of nutrition program.
Exactly.
It's pretty crazy. And I can tell you of 10 other locations with exact similar results.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and along the same lines, I'm going to talk a little bit about the genetics of deer.
Sure.
Because one of the things I'd read on the website was that, you know, Vitarec can actually change the genetics of a deer herd after just 7 years of using the product. So how so?
Okay, how that works is pretty simple. Is that, and I already used the phrase, unlock the genetic potential. It's real simple. Is that if a deer is allowed to mature, now keep in mind, there's at least 4 things that have to take place to make that happen. You can't shoot the little ones, okay? You got to let them grow up, and they need food, water, and cover. Now, that being said, is that with the proper, see, if you have the right, if you can provide the right mineral diet, let's say, or mineral vitamin diet, everything that affects everything about that deer. It affects the food consumption. It affects how efficiently the food is consumed. It affects their health. What if they don't have to ward off ticks, okay? Let's think about that. That gives that animal, okay, oh, man, that's a stress period I can do without. So everything still comes back to there's basically at least four stressful periods in a deer's life every year. And if you can reduce even a portion of those or make them better, can you allow them to grow and change the genetics? The answer is yes, you can. Now, there's kind of a little bit of a trick to it. You're not going to see it instantly. It does take a few years. Our farm here in Missouri is probably the best example you could ever see, because the first deer we harvested here, we had moved here from Texas in 1991. We harvested a 8-point buck that year. One thing they were doing at that point in time here in Missouri was that they had check stations. So as you shot a deer, you had to take it someplace and check it in, and a biologist was there, and they'd age it and all that kind of stuff. The first deer that came off of this farm that had been abandoned for 10 years, little 8-point, field dressed probably 135, 40 pounds, was aged by the Missouri Department of Wildlife Conservation at 3.5 years old. It would score 75, maybe.
Well,
a little bitty basket dude, okay?
Okay.
And probably shouldn't have shot it, but yours truly is the one that did it. What can I say? So here we go. So we saw that. My wife, who is a very avid deer hunter, she's a bow hunter more than anything else now. I don't think she even picks a gun up and hasn't for probably the last 6 years. And she goes, we need to do something about this. These things are just small. What's going on, you know? So we started with, that's when we really started on our quest, okay? And we used some of the techniques that we had learned in Texas and some of those ranches and what they did, and we started building these products. And last year she harvested a 5.5-year-old, 186 5/8 with her bow at 10 yards.
Wow. Yeah.
Get this. You'll love this. Field dress, 295 pounds.
Holy cow, that's a beast.
Zero ticks. I shot one this year. It's my biggest so far. We strictly bow hunt. 173.5. Again, we have deer that now push. Our average 4.5 to 5.5-year-old deer, average live weight is 350 plus.
Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Oh, they're just gigantic. It's exactly the same farm now 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have 17 mounts on our wall in here. That the smallest one's about 145. All came off of this farm, and it's all through proper quality management and growing them up, taking care of them. Now, if you talk to a guy like Valor Skies, he's going to tell you, it takes about 4 generations to really start seeing a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But can you affect it? Yes. You know, the old rule used to be if you see a spike, shoot it because it's never going to be bigger than a spike.
Right.
Absolutely false. Mm-hmm. Do not do that.
Well, it takes, you know, until they reach body maturity so you can really see what they're going to become.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yep.
And that's at 3.5 years old that they reach body maturity, or?
No, not really. I think they get close at 3.5. I don't think you'll really know what they're going to be until 4.5 or 5.5. Now, keep in mind, probably some of the hardest things for anybody to do, and I'm going to pick on my buddy Alex Rutledge for an example, pro staff guy at Hunter Specialties that hunted here on our farm a few years ago. And he shot a beautiful 10-point, 146, I think, 2.5 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Field dress, 235. And I was giving him a hard time about it. And he goes, no, it's got to be at least 3.5. I said, no, this is one of our youngsters, buddy. He said, no, it can't be. So my point is real simple. As you let them grow, it gets really tough to let them walk.
Yes. That's true. Very, very true. So this isn't just affecting the bucks. You know, how has it affected the does and the fawns that they give birth to?
Well, and again, excellent question, because what you're going to find is that anytime you have multiple births with a doe in particular, they will abort one of those fetus if there's not enough food source or water in the area. Or she can't nurse it. She can't lactate enough to nurse a pair. Triplets anymore around here are not uncommon. And it's because, the body weight of the deer gets larger, the lactation flows freer. She can support twins very easily. And they do. And again, I mean, one of the things that's really interesting for us, now we have some live video surveillance capabilities here on our entire farm. So we literally watch deer, well, we could, except I have to work 24 hours a day from the comfort of our living room. We don't just use cutty back cameras or stuff like that. We have live video.
Uh-huh.
So when you see that, you really start to see the benefits of what that deer is doing. And to watch a little fawn with spots on it all of a sudden eating mineral just kind of makes me feel good.
Yeah. Wow. So what is it that enables deer to, say, like the first year, you know, have fawns or breed successfully? Is it body weight, that once they reach a certain body weight that they're able to carry fawns?
You know, I don't think I know the answer to that, quite honestly. If I had to guess, I think it's the maturity of the physical structure will it support being bred, which would be, you know, your comment, probably body weight and so on. I got to tell you a funny one, though. It was on February 12th of this year we saw a buck breeding a doe.
Oh, wow. That
fawn,
yeah,
will not breed this next year. A little too late. I think part of it is age, obviously, is that, you know, if you have a little guy pop out in early May or mid-May, the odds are that December or even January, you know, second, third rut, they're probably going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, you know, contrary to what a lot of people think, you don't have let's say we got a massive 165-inch 12-point out there running around, and he's king of the hill. A lot of people would think, well, he's my main breeder and so on. That's absolutely not true. You know, a 2.5-year-old buck will breed if given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And they will breed whether they're an antler or not.
Okay. Interesting. Back to minerals a little bit. You'd mentioned...
Sure.
Or that Vitarac 26 is in loose granules.
Yes.
And how does that affect the way that it is ingested? Or does it have more, are the benefits, you know, are they more by being loose granules or?
Well, we think, and we've been asked this question many times, so I appreciate the question. The thing that we find is that a loose mixture does not limit how much that deer can intake. What typically the problem you run into is that, and again, there is a, I'm going to make two statements. I'll finish the first one here first. So if the deer needs an ounce or 2 or 5 or 6 ounces, they're not limited since it is a loose mixture, okay? But let me throw another curve at you here versus the blocks that are out there today. One of the things, and quite honestly, I'm not saying this is how it happens, but it's suspect, is that you'd mentioned earlier about CWD or other diseases and how do they possibly pass from one deer to another and so on. It has long been thought, not scientifically proven, let me make that very clear, that CWD is transmitted through saliva.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to have a deer that's infected and they were licking on a block, let's just say a salt block, and deer 2 comes up and licks in the same spot, is there a potentiality for deer 2 to get deer 1's diseases if they have one? Well, the answer would be of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing and the biggest reason we went to a loose form was purely through consumption. I mean, we measured, I have 200,000 photos, I would guess, of deer at different mineral locations. And, you know, we measured consumption. We'd have X number of deer come up to this site. We knew how much we put out. We'd go measure how much was left. Nowadays, we've stopped doing that probably 5-6 years ago. But, we have some pretty heavy scientific data on consumption. Loose is always better.
Okay, how much does it take? How much does a deer have to consume?
Again, excellent question. It depends on the deer is the real answer, and I'm not trying to avoid it. It depends on the deer. What we have found is that sometimes it's a little as a couple ounces, sometimes it's as much as 5 or 6 ounces. Typically, I would say per feeding, if we call it that, even though it's not a feed, typically an ounce is about the norm of what we have found that they consume.
Okay.
But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I have hard evidence of deer digging through the snow, and we got a lot of snow here this year, literally digging through the snow to get to mineral.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is simple. They know they need something.
Right.
Now, I want to make a statement so we're not misconceived in any way. Vitarac 26, all of the vitamins have zero odor and zero taste. They are odorless and tasteless. So the
okay.
only thing they potentially smell, per se, are some of the minerals.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of... I'm speechless. So what is it that is drawing them to that area to dig through the snow? Is it just knowing that there's something under there that they need? Or
yeah.
is it that they've been to that spot before, so obviously
they know it's there? Well,
I think it's both.
I think it's both. Again, if you... It's kind of like, and we'll use the B12 example. It's kind of like, okay, I'm a doe. I've been chased all over the damn countryside by this big old buck. I'm running around through the woods, and I need a break. Leave me alone, you know? And I'm kind of stressed out. Well, hey, I remember this spot. It's like my
yeah.
favorite coffee shop, you know? and they know. I mean, you know, we have them out. We have one site per about 40 acres. And, you know, we find and we refresh it all the time. A couple times a year we even add some, it's called Alphamenic. It's a dewormer, so I even deworm my deer. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff you can do.
Yeah.
You just have to have the methodology to be able to carry it with it.
Right. How should minerals be used? Should they be spread out over an area or in a small pile? You know, how do you mix them into the soil? You know, all that basic stuff.
Okay, what I typically do, and again, I think we have some pretty good information on our website about this, but I think one of the biggest things that we try and say is if you take if you go to an area, and a lot of people say, well, how do I know where to start this? Well, if you've had a salt block there, just take the salt block out and use this exact same location, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's say you're going to start something new. The best thing to do is maybe on the edge of a field, do not do this on a levee at a pond because they will eat a hole and it will blow out.
I would pray.
Okay.
There gets the pond.
Now, in case you missed something there, that's called sheer experience there, my friend. So anyhow, as we go forward, what you do is you just, the edge of a field, maybe got 3 or 4 trails that are kind of coming together, and just dig a hole out a little bigger than the size of a basketball, let's say, you know, 2-3 feet around. Dig the soil up, throw it on the side, and then what you do is let's say you start out with a 5-pound bag, and we normally use 5-pound as the initial one to utilize to start going forward with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you take half of that 5-pound bag, mix it in this soil that you've turned over, throw the sod out of the way, and then what you do is mix it all up, take the remaining half of the 5-pound bag, put it on the top, and walk away.
Okay.
I have some pictures. In fact, I have. Do you have a PowerPoint that I have done in the past? Was that ever sent to you?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, I will forward this to you because there are some interesting pictures. It's a whole lot more than we even. I know we've probably gone way over our 15 minutes anyhow.
Oh, no, it's time. No time.
You get me talking about white-tailed deer, and I just don't shut up, you know?
That's awesome, though. I'm learning all kind of great stuff. You know, terms like you know, synergistic
reaction.
Yeah, I won't be saying that all day.
There you
and
go.
And just all this stuff is just really fascinating to me. So once you've, you know, set out the initial location for the mineral,
yep.
How often should it be renewed?
Again, good question. Typically, we will tell you every 60 days. And, you know, there's two or three questions that typically come up in this exact same question. And for us, it kind of depends on how big your herd is. If you have out a mineral site and you go out there and all of a sudden it's been out a week and you go out, well, they'll find it really quick. I have an older brother that did this experiment in the deep woods of northern Minnesota. I'll send you a picture of this gigantic buck standing in this hole that's now 2.5 feet deep. But when you see they're kind of pounding it, you may need to refresh it a little more often.
Maybe include a stepladder in there for them to get out.
Well, and sometimes I know at Dave Forbes Farm, the guy that's the CEO or co-CEO of Hunter Specialties, they've got to the point every couple of years they have to fill them in.
Wow.
Until you experience what I call the Vitarac experience, you just can't believe how this makes a difference.
That's amazing stuff. And you mentioned that you should have one for every 40 acres, one
yep.
location.
Yep.
Okay.
And again, it's deer populated. It kind of depends what you do. And a lot of times, you know, I have people ask me, I hunt on public ground. Why should I spend the money and do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about your own conscience and how you feel yourself about deer management.
Okay. And that kind of leads me to another question is, this might be kind of a tricky one. Anything involving ethics always is, but what's the difference between baiting and using minerals?
Oh, that's an easy question.
Okay.
Well, it is. It is. The bait is a food source that they have to have to live. Mineral is not.
Okay.
See,
so it's more... Yeah, that's true. So it's more you're looking at it like an attractant. Is that right, or is it?
Well, no,
different?
Because there's a lot of attractants that are out there that are bait related. It
okay.
is just one of the many puzzles on how to take care of a complicated animal like whitetail deer health. That
okay.
it's a separate tool in your arsenal, shall you say? I know that there's some states, Missouri's one, that allows you to hunt over mineral sites, but not over bait.
Oh, wow.
So
that's kind of interesting.
The TNR here is classified and recognized that it's not a necessary ingredient for that deer's to stay alive. They think
mm-hmm.
food and water is that, okay, and minerals not. Now, of course, what I know is that if I want them to be bigger and healthier and live longer and all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm going to put mineral out. Now, there is a downside to using Vitarac 26, and maybe we should discuss this.
That was my final question.
What's the downside?
There are any, yes. What is it?
Well, the best thing I have found as a bow hunter, these deer get so big, they are hard to kill. I'm going to tell you, you better put a perfect shot on them suckers. Or you're not going to kill them because they're really healthy.
Magnum rifles and, you know, huge bows.
And you know, we laugh and chuckle about it every year. Every year I'll have a guest come in and do some hunting on us and so on. Notoriously, they'll shoot a deer and they think it's a perfect shot. And hopefully we'll find it by the next day. And I'm gonna share one story with you, and then I'm gonna get off your phone, okay? Here
All
you
right.
go. So this last year, now my wife and I could never hunt in the same stand together. especially bow hunting, which is all we really do. And the reason is simple. She sits there still as a mouse. And me, I take my video camera with me to the stand just to video what I'm seeing and letting walk by and whatever, okay? So I kind of move around a little bit. But, you know, we all watch all these hunting shows nowadays on Outdoor Channel and all those places, and these guys are always waiting for the perfect shot. It's kind of like, I'd have that deer gutted and hanging in a tree already, man. What are you waiting on?
Right.
Now, you never thought that, I'm sure, okay?
No.
You don't even have to answer. I already know the answer. So, but my point is that everybody always waits till they stop. Mm-hmm. So this past year, I'm sitting in a stand. It's October 4th, very early for us. I've been watching these couple bucks in particular that were pretty good size. And I'm sitting in a stand one evening, had a bunch of does come by me and a couple small bucks, and all of a sudden I look to my left, and I'm like, my God, it's a full-grown horse coming up the path, and it's got antlers. And I said, when it gets to this opening, I'm going to shoot him. He got to that opening. I did not go, and stop him, and I shot, and instead of double lungs, had a liver shot.
Oh, yeah.
I did find him the next day. I was fortunate enough to have him featured in Bowhunter magazine, Peterson Bowhunter magazine, in the January issue. You'll see a picture of it. Nice big deer, but I'm telling you from experience, you have a huge animal on the hoof, 350-pounder. It looks like a horse out there in front of you. Make sure you put a good ethical shot on him.
That's great advice.
That's my fighter rack story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you today, Dave.
Anytime, Ralph.
For our listeners who'd like to learn more, about Hunter Specialties and VitaRack 26, can you give us your website address?
Yes, absolutely. www.hunterspec.com.
Okay.
Click on Deer Nutritional Products. We get all sorts of new stuff coming out, by the way.
Okay, such as?
Well, we've got a new
rack line.
Well, we've got a VitaRack. Well, there's a whole series of VitaRack products. We have a new product coming out called VitaRack Gorge. We wanted to use the word stampede because when we feed it here, it's like a stampede. But that name was already taken, so we couldn't. So VitaRack Gorge is the new one coming out. We're actually doing some pellets now for some of the deer ranchers in particular, people that feed. And all of these products have VitaRack 26 in it. It's all about consumption, enhancing the immune system. Let's make our deer herd healthy so people stop trying to ban it all.
Great. And thanks again for joining us.
Great, Ralph. Anytime.
And thank you to all the folks who have been listening to this installment of the Trophy Buck Seekers Teleseminar Series. I'm Ralph Schrader, and once again, here's Dave Barrett, founder of TrophyBuckSeekers.com.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to you, Dave. And a very special thanks to all of you who have shared your kind words with me about this project. I'm looking forward to hearing your food plot success stories this year. It's been my pleasure to put this together for you. This teleseminar series is one example of the benefits that our Trophy Nation members enjoy. If you're serious about hunting big bucks, then you owe it to yourself to check out TrophyBuckSecrets.com now. Just click the link on the left-hand side of the screen. I'm looking forward to welcoming you to the ultimate big buck brotherhood, Trophy Nation, only at TrophyBuckSecrets.com. Thank you, and goodbye for now.